Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Book of Judges and chapter 7 is what I'm going to preach this morning, but I do need to start with chapter 6. I started this message last Sunday morning. I don't do that very often where I have part 1 and part 2, but there's no way I could preach it all. I'm probably not going to preach it all today, but I'm going to end it today on the life of Gideon. And the title of the message is God's plan is the best plan. You need to understand that. Man, there was a cycle going on. All right, this is the time of the judges. Here's the cycle. Here's how it worked. God's people knew the blessing of God. This happens to us today in the day and age in which we live. We know the full blessings of God, and then after a period of time, we forget God. We leave God out of our plans, not of our days, out of our moments. Before long, he's not number one, he's not number two, he's not number three. He's way down on the list, and he's the last person consulted. And when that happens, then idol worship begins. And that's what was going on here. And an idol is anything that comes between you and God, whether it be a stick, a rock, a philosophy, a game, whatever it is. Comes between you and God. A person comes between you and God. And then they fell into idol worship, and then God would send a deliverer. We refer to him as a judge. And Gideon is, I believe, the fourth of the 15 judges. Boy, I'm calling back in my mind right now. I'm not really sure. But I think he was the fourth judge. And Gideon was called of God. We read that last Sunday morning. Raised up by God to deliver the Israelites from the hand of the oppressor. So they're delivered. And then after they're delivered, then they're right with God. And here was the cycle. It lasted about 40 years. They fall into idol worship. They'd cry out to God. God would send a deliverer, a judge. He would stand forth and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and give them victory over the oppressor. And they would praise God as a nation, Israel, and they'd have 40 years of peace. And incrementally, they'd get a little further away from God. And then they'd fall into idol worship again and repeat the cycle over and over again. Man, if that isn't the way we live today, and if that isn't New Testament Christianity, where we get right with God, we know the blessing of God, then we forget God, so God has to pull out the rug from under our feet, and we end up down at the bottom. Then we cry out to God, and he's a merciful God, and he sends revival, and he brings us back and forgives us of our sin, and then we know the blessings of God again, and then after a while, and you go through this cycle a few times in your life, and you get to be an old man or an old woman, and you figure it out. You say, "Wait a minute. It's not good to forget God. It's not good to leave him out of my life." And it is a wise young man and young woman that learns that early and hooks up with the Lord Jesus Christ and stays there and seeks first the kingdom of God. And there is a young person who, as they travel through the journey of life, whether it may not be monetarily, it may not be material possessions, but their life is rich. And they'll be the first to tell you that. And God takes care of them. They're led and fed by the hand of God instead of going back to the idol worships and the idolatry. And that's why the New Testament tells us to flee from idolatry. Let me give you a little bit more for background. Gideon earns a nickname, Jerubbabel. Loosely paraphrased, loosely defined, that means Baal killer, idol destroyer, idol slayer. Gideon is a farmer turned military leader, called by God, and becomes the spiritual leader, the judge of Israel. He was used of God to defeat the Midianites and the Amalekites. He's the son of Joash. He was the tribe of Manasseh, a poor family in the poorest tribe. He said, "Man, I'm a nobody." And I want to point that out. God uses nobodies. Look at chapter 6. It's going to be hard for me to jump right in mid-message. And pick up chapter 7. So I'm going to summarize some of chapter 6. Some of you remember it from last week, and maybe you'll be able to hang on to it. Verse 1 says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." This was after a judge by the name of Deborah delivered Israel, Old Testament Israel, and from the Syrians, and 40 years of peace, and then they turn away from God. "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel." It's not good when the world is able to prevail against God's people. "And because the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds." And too much of the Church of Jesus Christ is living in caves and dens, living in the wilderness, instead of knowing the full blessing of God. God never intended the Israelites, the Hebrews, to live in the caves like animals. But man, they end up there because of their disobedience to God. Verse 3 says, "And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor oxen." That's why you're not getting ahead in life. God's plan's the best plan. Now, why don't you trust God with your life? You're never going to get ahead without God. You may get some promotions. You may have bigger paychecks. There are a lot of men in here, a lot of women that can testify that the paycheck is never going to be enough. Never. Never. You say, "Oh, I'll make $21,000 a year. Once I get the $30,000, I'll be living in high clover." No, you won't. No, you won't. You'll get the $50,000. You may even get the $60,000. You might get to $100,000. By the way, if you make $100,000 a year, I want to talk to you afterwards, all right? I want to talk about tithing. But you can end up a millionaire. But I'm telling you, it's never, ever, ever going to be enough. You will never, ever, ever have enough money in the bank. Never. That's just how it works. That is how it works. How much money? Don't answer out loud. How much money you got in the bank? Maybe some older people here and you got a little. Remember when you thought you would never need that much money? Isn't it amazing how things change? Perspective. Don't let it control you. It's all right to have things, but it's all right to own things, but don't let things own you. That's not a good thing. So they could never get ahead. Verse 5, "And they came up with their cattle and their tents. They moved in, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it." And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. Now let me just do a lot of reading, and I'm going to try to keep it moving, just so you got the background, all right? I got 3 points. I'm going to hit them hard, and it's going to be towards the end of the message. "But Israel was greatly impoverished, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." God, we need you. You're going to get to that place in your life if you're not there now. God, I've made a mistake. God, I've sinned greatly. God, I need you today. Some tragedy, some heartache. It's going to happen. And all the riches of the world aren't going to do you any good. Say, "God, God, God, I need you." God hears their prayers, and he sends a prophet. Verse 7, "It came to pass when the children of Israel cried," verse 8, "that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, which saith unto them, Thus saith the Lord." There needs to be a whole lot more of "Thus saith the Lord" in our preaching today. Bible preaching with Bible authority. And he rehearses the good hand of God upon Israel. How Israel was delivered, the Hebrews were delivered from the land of Egypt, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, verse 9, "and drave them out from before you and gave you their land." God is good to us. God has given me things I never earned. God is, that's blessing. God has blessed me in ways that cannot be measured here on this earth. I'm talking about the peace of God. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about the love of God. And yes, it's the sustenance, daily sustenance, where God takes care of us. And he'll do that if we just follow him. "I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians." Verse 10, "And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, that ye have not obeyed my voice." And then God sent an angel. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah. And there pertained unto Joash." And we read this, and he gives a message to Gideon. Gideon asks, "Well, why are all these bad things happening to us?" That's the question everybody asks today in society. If there's a God in heaven, why all the evil in the world today? The answer is because of wicked man. Don't blame that on God. The sins and the evil and the debauchery and the wickedness and the heartache and the tears and the death in the world today, don't you lay that at God's feet. God has a better plan. God has a better way. But as a society, we've turned away from God. As a nation, we've turned away from God. And God forbid, many churches have turned away from God. As individual Christians, we try to do our own thing without God. And then we wonder, why has the Lord forsaken us? Verse 13. Verse 14 says, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might." And he gives him a plan. We're going to read about that in a moment. Verse 16, he says, "I'll be with you." Verse 18, let's go all the way down there. "Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee." So Gideon says to the angel of the Lord, "Hey, don't go anywhere. I want to do something for you. I want to bless you." And so he goes and he gets a kid, he gets some meat, he gets some unleavened bread, and he comes and he brings it back. verse 20, and the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and unleavened cakes. And then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And verse 22, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, a Christophany, Christ in a pre-incarnate appearance, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. And Gideon built an altar unto the Lord. Gideon, the simple farmer, had a heart for God. He had some foibles. He had fear. Fear is a part of faith. We're going to see that in just a moment when I finally get to my message, all right? Fear is a part of faith, but the fact is, he had a heart for God, and that's all that God is looking for. You know that? God isn't looking for your money, and God isn't looking for your possessions, and God isn't looking for what you can do for him. God is looking for your heart. If God will get your heart, Gideon worshiped God. Gideon was an altar builder. He built an altar unto the Lord. He sacrificed there on that altar. He was commanded by the angel of the Lord to go and to break down the altar that was unto Baal, verse 28, and cut down the grove that was there, the worship that was all that was involved in the high places in the worship of Baal. Gideon was a man with feet of clay, just like you and I. He was fearful, but he did what God asked him to do. He took 10 men, and the Bible tells us he was fearful. And he tore down the grove and tore down the altar in the night, so no one would see him doing it. He was fearful. Every bit of faith, anyone that has faith knows what fear is. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, if you do something for God and there's no fear involved in it, it must not be faith. Maybe you're just taking it out of your wherewithal. It's what you can do. But when you do something for God, like get out of the boat, when Jesus motions for Peter to come, there's going to be an element of fear. And Gideon knew that he was endangering his life and the life of these 10 servants in doing so. The people of the city, the men of the city, call for Gideon to be killed. Joash, Gideon's father, stands up on behalf of Gideon and says, this man is now Jerubbabel. He's an idol slayer. He's a man of God. He's standing for the truth. Verse 33. This is the beginning of the message now. Then all the Midianites and all the Amalekites, I read the word all, and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. This means war. Here's Gideon, a farmer, not a military leader, a farmer, called of God, mighty man of valor. He obeys God even though he's fearful. He tears down the grove of Baal and the idol, the altar of Baal and that idol. And the people of the city are upset. And the Amalekites, they're upset. And the Midianites, they're upset. And they want him dead. And the men begin to assemble. And the armies begin to stage. And there's going to be, this means war. Gideon poked the devil in the eye. God, give us Gideons today. We'll stand for the truth. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Don't do anything without God. God has a plan. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. Now, Gideon is out on a limb. Let's not be too hard about this fleece upon Gideon. Gideon is the one guy that's standing up for God. Now, there are people ready to fight. There are people ready to follow a leader. There are today in the world in which we live as well. In your workplace, in the places that you go, in your family, if someone will stand up for God, others will follow. Dr. Wooster used to tell me this. He was my mentor. He's gone. He's in heaven now. And he used to say this all the time to the young preacher boys. The crowd will part for the man who will stand for God. And he's usually going to be a solitary man. Gideon stands up. The shofar is blown. Men are coming together to do battle. The Amalekites and the Midianites, they're gathering on the other side, and they're gathering to do battle. Now, Gideon has poked the devil in the eye, And in the wee hours of the morning, he gets shaky. He gets his knees start to shake a little bit. And he starts to wonder if maybe he did the wrong. Maybe I misread. Maybe I dreamed this whole thing. Oh, my goodness, what have I done? All these men are dependent on me. All of Israel dependent on me. What are we going to do? And he says, God, I need a sign. God's already given him one sign, the angel of the Lord, fire. Now he's going to give him the sign of the fleece twice. And you know the story. He said, God, I'm going to put this fleece out. And in the morning, when I come, if the fleece will be full of dew and the ground around about it won't be, then I'll know that I didn't dream this whole thing up. Let me read it. Verse 37, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand as thou hast said. God does it. And Gideon's still fearful. He said, God, be patient with me. Just a sinner, man. I'm a simple farmer. I don't want to misread you. One more thing. If the fleece will be dry and the ground will be wet with dew, then I'll know. Verse 40 says, and God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So now the armies have staged and have gotten ready. Gideon's ready to go, 135,000 Amalekites and Midianites. That's a lot of men. That's a lot of manpower. And there they are throughout the valley. And Gideon looks over here and says, well, I got 32,000. That's not a lot. But praise God for every man that's here and is willing to fight. But look what happens here. And you know the story. You're familiar with it. I'll try to summarize some of it, but I've got to read some of it. Then Jerubbabel, that's Gideon, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. That's a strange thing to say. 32,000 to 135,000. And God says, Gideon, you've got too many men for me to use. Here's a thought. You can never be too insignificant for God to use. Never. You can never be too small for God to use. For one person in God makes a majority, no matter who the opposition is. He knew what was good. God knew their hearts. God knew how evil the hearts were of the Israelites. If they were to win a great war with 35,000 men, even though they're outnumbered like they are, about 4-1, they would take the glory themselves. For a lot of years, 35 years here at Fundamental Baptist Church. I know of other ministries, and they have rich people in them. I've been looking for the millionaire for Fundamental Baptist Church. I've never found him. I came to this conclusion years ago. This is to be a ministry of faith. You know, we don't need the 35,000, 32,000 men. We need God. Period. That's it. And Gideon, of course, is learning this. Verse 2, it says, there are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And Gideon's heart melted. He saw 22,000 people go home. What happened to my army? Now I've got 10,000 people. I'm going to make an analogy here in just a moment. God's not done whittling them out. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. By the way, I told you can never be too insignificant, too small for God to be used of God. But you can be too proud. You can be too big. And God won't use you. And you'll just bounce along through life in your own strength. No way to live for a child of God. We're supposed to be people of faith and people of the book. And so you got too many. You got too many, Gideon. Verse 4 says, bring them down under the water and I will try them. I'll test them. We're going down to the water and God will test them. And some failed. Failed miserably. Many of us have gone down to the water with God. And we failed. No faith. I'll build on that right at the close. Verse 4 again says, and I will try them for thee there, And it shall be that on whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people under the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. Gideon says, we're going down, guys. We're going to get a drink. It's almost time for war, for battle. And Gideon, is God reveals to Gideon who he's supposed to choose and who he's not supposed to choose. And he's praying, oh, guys, don't get down on your knees, guys. Don't bury your head in the water. Don't drink like a dog drinks. You got to be ready for battle. And it says, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. They weren't ready for battle. They weren't disciplined. They weren't looking. They weren't looking around for the enemy. They were just all about satisfying their own thirst, their own fleshly desires. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. Remember I told you God has a better plan? God has a best plan? It doesn't always look like it's a good plan. But you got to have some faith. You got to follow God. You got to honor God and put him first place in your life. Gideon's plan was, man, I'll take the 32,000. It's not many, but I'll take the 32,000 and we'll fight against the Midianites because God has called me to lead this army of men, and we're gonna try to win. God says there's too many there. There are many there that are a mixed multitude, mixed believers, if you will. I want to make some analogy here very quickly, and it won't take long on what time is left. The 32,000. There are a lot of people in the family of God have no idea what they believe. No idea what the Bible says. They got saved. They're saved. They're born again. Never grown in grace. There's nothing wrong with being a baby Christian. There is something wrong with staying a baby Christian. Man, study the Bible. Grow in grace. Allow God to build you up. This first group, he's looking for those that are saved, those that are settled. They have an answer for every man, for the hope that lieth within them, to give to every man for the hope that lieth within them. They're settled. They're fixed. They know right and wrong. They are solid. Too many are not. The 22,000 end up going home. They went home to their tents. They weren't even there for the battle. They're gone. And after that, there were 22,000 that were afraid. The 22,000 were afraid. And after that, there were those that were undisciplined and we're not really thinking about the battle. There's a lot of people like that in the family of God as well. And we're all there from time to time. And we have a little faith. I want to challenge you this morning. Grow your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You talk about faith, think about what Gideon was called of God to do. That's faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hold your hand here. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm already out of time. Just give me a few more moments. Hebrews in chapter 11 talks about faith. Great chapter of faith. Had Gideon's 300 not obeyed God, they would have missed out on God's best, on God's plan. God never asks for a blind leap of faith. Just trust in an omnipotent living God. Just trust him. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's a trusting knowledge in the omnipotent God. It's standing upon the promises of God, the same promises that so many of our forefather brethren stood upon as well and found that God was enough. Verse 2 says, for by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 6, skip all the way down there. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Say, how do I get more faith? Faith, Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Man, you study the book. You get in the book. You grow in the book. You've got to become settled. Bible word, established. No right and wrong. Don't be tossed about with every wind and doctrine, with every emotion that tries to run your life. A man that does not control his own spirit is like a city whose walls are broken down, the scripture says. That's what the Bible says. Whenever the enemy wants one of your treasures, they come and plunder the city and ride off laughing. They got what they want. That's what the devil's been doing in your life. You need to be settled. You need to be established. You need to be strong in God. Say, preacher, I'm not as strong as I ought to be. I understand that. I know that. I'm in the same place. But my faith and your faith can be built up by hearing good preaching, preaching of the Bible, by studying the Bible and rightly dividing the word of truth. By meditating, we talked about meditating this morning on the Word of God in our adult Sunday school class. By meditating upon, thinking about it all day long, never getting too far from the light of Scripture, of Holy Writ. God will build your faith. Every time an Amalekite comes by, and every time a Midianite comes by and tries to do you wrong, tries to rattle your cage, you just kind of brush them off because you follow God and you have faith. And it makes for a whole lot less decisions in life. You don't come to a fork in the road and think, man, what should I do? Should I go this way? No, because you have faith. You understand what's God and what's not God. And you don't even look that direction. And you live for God. That's important. God is looking for people that are going to honor him and have great faith. They're different, they're declared, and they're distinct. They know what to believe, number one. I've left my outline, so let me just give it to you here. They know what to believe. They trust God, and they stand their ground. You know the story of Gideon. 300 men, three different bodies of men, 100 in each. They each got a lamp, they got a pitcher, an earthen pitcher, and they got their sword. At the sound of the shofar, at the sound of the trump, you can imagine, the Midianites, the Amalekites, they're in their camp in the valley below. All of a sudden, they hear the sound of battle. They hear the shofar, the Jewish shofar, blowing in every direction, and in three directions, and coming down the mountain, they see all these torches, because the lamps are broke, or the pitchers are broken, the lamps are lit up, so they see 300 lights representing who knows how many men, and they hear men yelling, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon," from every direction, and God discomforts them. They become disoriented, and they fight amongst themselves, and God gives a great battle, and the rest of Israel joins in as well afterwards. There's a whole lot to the story, and I don't have time to read it all. I'm sorry about that. Verse 15 or verse 21 says, "And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts." God has a better plan. God has a better idea. Let's bring this back to the 21st century. What are you planning in life? Don't leave God out. God has a better plan. Let me tell you this, and I say this with the authority of the Word of God. God's plan is the best plan. Anything short of it, you'll not know the full blessing of God. Man, follow him. Know what you believe. Trust the God of the Bible. Surrender to the God of the Bible. And then verse 21, "They stood every man in his place round about the camp." Stand your ground. And there's great victory for the church of Jesus Christ. I know we're outnumbered. A whole lot more than 135,000 to 300. I know the church of Jesus Christ, out of the 7 billion people on the planet, we're small in number. And Lord willing, we're not part of that 22,000 that's just flat out afraid and aren't going to do anything for God. And part of that other 9,700 that isn't prepared for battle. Man, we're the Bible fundamentalists. We are the academic, rightly dividing the word of truth, Bible thumpers. We're the ones that know the score. We ought to be settled and stand your ground. All around the camp, stand your ground. Let God lead in your life.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.